Please turn with me to the second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. The last two verses. The prayer of Shaul for the people in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Therefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Yeshua, Mashiach, may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Yeshua, Mashiach. This isn't the first time he has mentioned prayer for them. He says in verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. He is praising God for their love, their patience, their faith. And now, having spoken briefly about the return of Messiah, the double event, judgment of the ungodly, reception of the godly, he comes to pray in verse 11. He has spoken about those who have willfully rebelled against God and against the knowledge of God and against his truth. But at the same time that they were being judged, his people, he was coming back to deliver his people. He has said in verse 10, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. The great contrast, the coming of Messiah, the return of Messiah, is a double event. It will result in retribution on the ungodly and the reward of those that have sought to live for him. And now he says, wherefore, therefore we also pray always for you. In addition to what he has already said, we pray always for you. God had made the promise that he would receive them to himself. But when God makes a promise, he expects us to pray over the promise, to plead the promise. We pray. When God makes a promise, he expects us to ask him for the confirmation of the promise. An example of that is in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel the prophet, chapter 36, where God promised restoration of his people. And he goes on to say in verse 36, Exodus chapter 30, Ezekiel 36, verse 36, then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock. When God makes a promise, that doesn't absolve us from our personal responsibility to press for the fulfillment of that promise. And this is what Elijah the prophet did. We read in 1 Kings chapter 18 of the famous sacrifice on Mount Carmel that brought down fire from heaven. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah had been commanded to tell the king and the people that he was going to send rain. God had made a categorical statement. Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. He sent Elijah to the king of Israel to tell him God was going to send rain. After his great sacrifice, which God acknowledged with fire from heaven, we read in verse 41 of 1 Kings 18. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." God had told Elijah, "I will send rain on the earth." But Elijah knew very well that it was no lack of faith to plead the promise until it was fulfilled. And that is the attitude here that Shaul displays. He says, "Therefore, because of God's promises, we also pray always for you." We pray always, and we pray always for you. It's not to the all and sundry. It is for all those who had a stake in God's promise, those who are waiting for his return, those that he calls in verse 10 his saints. Messiah also in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 9. John 17 and verse 9, Messiah also mentions the ones for whom he prays. "I pray for them," and "them" means verse 6. I better read verse 6. "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." And now he says in verse 9, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." And in verse 20, he includes all future believers. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." These are the ones for whom Shaul is praying. "Therefore, we also pray always for you." Just a thought that occurred to me. He's not just talking about the Thessalonians. He's talking about the believers in Thessalonica, not as citizens of Thessalonica, but as believers. And therefore, what he has to say about those believers in Thessalonica, he has to say to you and to me in Vancouver. If he was writing the letter today, he would be writing to the saints which are in Vancouver. So what he has to say to the believers in Thessalonica applies to all believers. And his prayer is one that is still being answered for all believers. He mentions the one who bestows the blessing, that is God. And then, having described the content of his prayer, he shows what the blessing contains. He says in verse 11, "Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would three things: count you worthy of this calling, secondly, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and thirdly, and the work of faith with power." We're going to look at these three great petitions that Shaul presented to God in behalf of believers. First of all, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. To count you worthy means to assess or to deem. Messiah, when he spoke to his disciples about the last days in Luke chapter 21, the days that would end with his coming, in Luke 21, he mentioned the trials, the sufferings in this world. Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." He has left us more than a hint that if we ask to be shielded from the evils of those of that day, that we will be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And that is what Shaul is praying for here, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, that is, esteem you to be eligible, acknowledge your eligibility. And when he speaks about this calling, it refers to God's calling to fellowship with him and with the Son. Truly, the scripture says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It refers to the present walk and the future calling, a future glory. All matters of salvation are comprised in that phrase, this calling. In Psalms, we read a description of what God's calling is. Psalm 97. Psalm 97, verse 10 to 12. This is what God's calling is. It's a calling to a certain kind of lifestyle. "You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." That's our calling. To love the Lord, to hate evil. And there's a promise here that he will deliver us out of the hand of the wicked. The calling also includes rejoicing and giving thanks. We saw that in the first letter, chapter 5 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, almost an echo of Psalm 97. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Messiah Yeshua for you. That is the calling. God's calling includes this. And then, further description of what our calling consists is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 to 3. Ephesians 4 verses 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That, too, is our calling. Do you notice there are further details given here? Lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, doing our best to keep the peace with one another. The calling. When we go to the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. We get a further description of God's calling. God has called us into fellowship with Himself and with His Son, Messiah. And this is what he's speaking of here. Shaul in Philippians 4, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The picture is that of a runner on the running track, reaching out for the finishing line. And then once again, in the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 12. I'll read verse 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would have a walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And once more, in the second letter to Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Verse 8 and 9. Our calling means standing up for what we know, standing up for what we believe. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Messiah, Yeshua, before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Yeshua Mashiach, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The calling includes God's determination back in eternity, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Messiah, Yeshua, before time began. That means, before God created us, before God created the universe, God had already determined to save us, to call us. He has saved us according to his own purpose and grace. That is, we cannot earn our salvation. It is a gift of God, which was given to us in Messiah Yeshua before time began. Before time began means before the world was created, the universe, you and me. God had already made an agreement with Messiah, the Son of God, that he would bestow his salvation on these people, on the beneficiaries. That's what is meant by the calling. Second ingredient in his prayer is fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. That includes everything. It means to perfect. This is the blessing that he's praying for. To fulfill means to perfect or to complete. David says in one of the Psalms, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." And that's what he's doing. But Shaul doesn't just sit back and expect that it will happen automatically. He prays that it will become a reality. And that's what we need to do. Lord, fulfill that which you have determined in my life. In Philippians chapter 1, we have the assurance of this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. "Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Yeshua Mashiach." The blessing is also pronounced in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Then we'll put it all together. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Yeshua from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Yeshua Mashiach, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Lord Yeshua in his high priestly prayer prayed for those that the Father had given him. And Shaul in this prayer prays that God would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, all his gracious purposes, everything. All the good pleasure of his goodness, that also means that we acknowledge that this is something that is a gift from God, given us in Messiah Yeshua before the world began. Before the world began, God said, "These are the ones I will give you." That's concerning believers. "And I will do this and that for them through you, on condition that you are their substitute and their savior." And that's the prayer here too. Fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. God in his goodness decided before creation what he would do by way of salvation, of blessing, and of glory. Everything comes from God. When Shaul wrote to his friend Philemon, he said, "The communication of your faith becomes effectual in measure as you acknowledge every good thing that is in you is through Messiah." Or as 2 Corinthians 5 again says, "If any man be in Messiah, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God." Isaiah the prophet in chapter 53 described God's gracious purpose. Isaiah 53 describes the sufferings of our substitute. And in verse 10, we see the result of our Redeemer's sacrifice. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. To make his soul an offering for sins means to accept his sacrifice for us. And the prayer here of Shaul is that God would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, that we might be redeemed, that we might be spared. And then the third thing, verse 11, the last phrase, and the work of faith with power. That is, our believing endeavor is empowered. God empowers us. As we seek to exercise our faith, we also find that God is upholding us. David says, "My soul follows hard after you. Your right hand upholds me." God upholds us as we run the race. This, our life of obedience and of discipleship is compared to a race. In a race, in human races, it's only one who gains the prize, but in God's race, in God's track, everyone who crosses the finishing line obtains a prize. The work of faith with power. Your believing endeavor is empowered by God. As Shaul says, "I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me." There is his threefold petition for the believers. And here is Messiah's wish for every believer today, that God would count us worthy of this calling, that he would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. If we were left to our own faith, we'd be like Peter. We would sink in the sea of troubles. But Messiah has come to uphold us, to strengthen us. "My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me." All our resources are to be found in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. "Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Yeshua, Mashiach, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." All things are of God. Well, we'll have to continue with this theme next week, God willing. For the present, we just close with a word of prayer, and then if you have any questions, please feel free. Shall we pray? We thank you, loving Father, for our heavenly intercessor, our Lord Yeshua, who is still implementing this prayer. And we pray that indeed these may be true of us, those three things that we mentioned, that we may be counted worthy of your high calling, that you would fulfill all the pleasure of your goodness, and that you would strengthen our faith. Lord, we believe, help thou our unbelief. We pray in our Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.